is experiencing a huge wave of infection with the Omicron variant. And because of this variant, the continued increases in COVID vaccination and the infection provided some level of immunity to our community. So the world should expect low levels of virus transmission in next few months. And because of this, well, the pandemic might over. So this trust is actually based on some hard facts, some research and information that provide by the professionalists, the scientists, and the government. So because of these reports, I trust that we can hug again and kiss each other again. So without any restrictions, I trust that we can gather together without a mask and social distancing anywhere in the world. So another example is about trust. I trust that the chair holds you firmly, okay? You may be sitting on the bench with three legs or a chair with four legs, okay? So it is because of this, the four legs, or because of the physics. And when you sit on the chair, I trust that it will not fall. Well, it is not only physics, but it is also based on our experience. You try to sit on that chair, and you didn't fall down. Or it is based on you seeing someone sitting on that bench, sitting on that chair, and okay, they're safe. I trust that that person will not fall down. So in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul tells the people what is the meaning of trust in Christ. Not based on scientific reports, no researcher, but with what? How can we have faith in Christ? We trust in Christ because we see what God did for us or has done for us in the past. And because of this, we see that, we assure that God will do for us now and in the future. Based on the past experience, then we know that we will have our hope now and in the future. When we put our trust in Christ, we know that we are being loved and taken care of. So in this passage, Paul shows us that the resurrection of Christ occurred so that the resurrection of the dead would occur. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the hope of our resurrection. It teaches us that when we trust in Christ Jesus, the future has arrived in the present. It is happening now. Our salvation is entirely dependent on God's grace, and it is actually happening now. We are justified by the blood of Christ. As the resurrection of Christ is the common ground of all Christians' preaching and faith, Paul now stresses the logical consequences. If there's no resurrection, after that, Christ was not raised. It is a simple if-then logic, or some people might love coding or coding 101, okay, computer science 101. For those who like the programming language, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. That means the denial of the resurrection of the dead leads ultimately to a denial of the gospel together. So when the Corinthians had put their hope in Christ, have in fact perished because they were still in their sins when they died, so Paul means that there is no future of any kind of them, if you believe in stuff like that. But because when you don't believe in the resurrection, they would have died in their sins, they perish along with the rest of the humanity. So there's no resurrection, there's no hope for them. So Paul is suggesting that to deny the resurrection of the dead is not only to deny one past, but you are going to deny the future as well. So it's all together. So Christians' resurrection is our resurrection. And the whole Corinthian existence, past, present and the future all depend on the resurrection of Christ. So by believing in Christ's death and resurrection, we have placed our trust in Christ. When you don't believe it, the consequence will be the loss of the future. No more future. That is the loss of the past and the present as well. It goes all together. Like the Corinthians, if we don't trust that Christ died and resurrected, we believe in vain. But on the other hand, for those who accept Christ's resurrection as reality, it is a blessed one indeed. It includes not only the forgiveness of sins, and therefore the fullness of life in the present, but it also means a glorious future. We have hope in the future, including a resurrection like Jesus Christ for us. The resurrection of Christ is absolutely guaranteed to the resurrection of all of us in Christ. Every one of us is included. How great is that? This passage is not only about Jesus' resurrection, but it's about our resurrections, actually. Our resurrections in the future. It is coming. We trust that because of Christ's resurrection, we will have our own resurrection. The resurrection of human beings demands Jesus' resurrection. Otherwise, death is never defeated. Without hope in Christ, we are miserable. In the future, we all will dwell in eternal glory. If the body does not rise again, the soul remains uncrowned with the blessings. In this case, we have nothing to hope for, and our rewards are limited to this life only. So our eyes is not, seeing the life here on the earth, but we have hope ahead. The concern is theological. The work of Christ is the key to everything. Both the resurrection of human beings are set in motion by Jesus. We have hope in Christ. Paul says Christ is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. It is a metaphor for the first of the harvest serving as a kind of guarantee for the full harvest. It is a down payment, the deposit, and the guarantee for our future. When I drove to Richmond today, come here to the Gilmore Park United Church, I saw all these beautiful cherry blossoms, so beautiful, all these super pink cherry trees. I see the spring season. Well, this year, the season of cherry blossom is a bit longer, isn't it? We're in May, but we still see the cherry blossom. So we see all signs of the first fruits here on the 1st of May. When the spot prawn season is coming, I know next week in Stifton, I am expecting it. So it's another harvest sign, right? Wow, so great. Great food and also cherry blossom. And also the Tulip Festival is coming around as well. So how wonderful is that? So when Paul calls Jesus the first fruits of God's harvest, this is a harvest of living soul who will be raised because of the atoning death of Jesus. It is the produce that is first raised from the ground. It is a guarantee for the future. What we see today about the beautiful sky, the cherry blossom, the spark pond season, everything is a sign that there's a guarantee for our future. The real joy of the first fruits, as mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15:20, is that the hardship of winter has come to an end. New life is coming. We have new hope. The first fruits signal the abundance of fruit that people can expect to eat in months to come. The signal that there are good days ahead. We are so hopeful about it. we have hope in Christ. As we place our hope in Christ, however many people in the world may experience hopelessness as well. I don't see hope in my life. I don't see hope in this situation. Why do you preach me about hope? It could be because of fear of the Omicron or the war. Or sometimes it is a natural response to many life events, the loss, grief, sickness, and many, many disappointments. The list can go very long, and it seems never cease. A grandmother flew to the UK to see her grandchildren. Upon the arrival, the surge of Omicron started. So with flight cancellations and new restrictions, this lady was not able to come back home. There were lots of uncertainties about, for example, the new negative test that was imposed last year, and the verification of the PCR test, for example. Extremely high flight fare to fly home, and the quarantine hotel, etc., etc. Maybe some of you really have experienced that before. Without a choice, grandmother stayed in the UK. She couldn't come home, and she stayed with her son, daughter-in-law, and her grandchildren for 3 months. With these extra months with her family, the lady recognized God's promises. She has to learn to rest again. It is a time to pause. Don't worry about the flight fare. Don't worry about all the restrictions. Just be with the family. Respond to God. Her restless heart was transformed into one full of new joy. With most of the door closed again during the surge in the UK and the restaurant seats were occupied, the family had a quality time at home with her family for 3 months. It is such a wonderful memory. For more than 2 years, the world had endured tremendous loss. Loss of friends, loss of your relative or family maybe, loss of physical togetherness, loss of what once was. But we also find love in the midst. We tightly hold faith, hope, and love together. Yes, in the midst of the hopelessness, we believe everything will be all right because we have hope in Christ. We have hope not because we are optimistic. No, not about optimistic. We have hope in Christ because we see what God has done for us. And what God has done for us assures that God will do for us now and in the future. This is the assurance. As Christ dies on the cross and rises again, our faith is not in vain. Jesus is with us. He lives in people's heart. Christ risen in people's hearts is extremely important. Jesus is alive and well, and not only in our hearts, but cruising around the world, trying to mend a broken world. God has created the world, and God is still creating. That's taken from New Creed. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is still creating. Jesus is with us and taking care of us. It is a deep living relationship between Christ and us. It is marked by our obedience, submission, and love for God. Without love, all our actions will be useless. To carry out God's missions, we are called to embody God's love in the world and carry out Jesus' ministry. Jesus reveals to us as much of the nature of God love us as we see in you and me, the love of God. God loves us and the world unconditionally. That's why God tells us about love and relationships in the scripture. Sometimes you see the Bible is actually the book of love. It is a book of love. We cannot keep our faith here and our relationship there. We keep our faith here, but the love is over there. That's impossible. Tied together. We are all the image bearers of God. We have the capacity to imitate Jesus, but by drawing closer and closer to Jesus, to know his character and his voice, we can grow the living relationship with Christ. Jesus is resurrected and alive. To imitate Jesus, to learn from Jesus, to walk with Jesus, we have to learn from Jesus and love Jesus and love with all our hearts, with all our strengths and minds. Our love for Jesus grows when we focus our relationships with him and with our neighbors. So the vertical love and also the horizontal love. We have to love God and we have to love each other in our everyday life. It's happening now. We are called to cultivate relationship with each other every day. God calls us to love one another, to love and care for your siblings, for your family, for your coworkers and friends, schoolmates. Now integrate faith into your relationships. Because of the resurrection of Christ, because of God's love, the truth is seen in Jesus and you and me. After God sent God's only Son into the world so that whoever believes in God shall not perish but have eternal life, we now have access to God's love. The true light is already shining. Jesus lives in people's hearts, lives in your heart and my heart. Now Jesus abides in you and you abide in him. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is changing all of our perspectives. We have a new perspective about new life, new hope. We're living in life in the hope of the resurrection of the dead. It is because of the hope and the love of God that lead to a changed life. We have been changed and we are keep changing. The resurrected Jesus teaches us to make each day count, to be kind and care for our neighbors and treat each other with compassion. We might not see each other in person many times during the pandemic, but we are connecting people with all around the world, from all around the world. We are to love the way Jesus loves us. We have to display the love of Jesus and enable our actions to be true imitations of Jesus. Remember, Jesus is hope and love. We have hope for the future, hope for a post-pandemic life, not new normal, but normal life, and for peace in the world. We have hope. The resurrection of Christ is our hope. It's time for our resurrection. With the assurance that God's love is with us, Jesus is alive, and the Holy Spirit is working with us, Jesus' resurrection is just the beginning. The abundance of grace is yet to come. Now let's have a moment of silence to reflect on how the resurrected Jesus impacted us.